The following shiur has been presented by Rav Baruch Fried, member of the Beis Havad Dayanus Koilel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
After Avraham Avinu successfully conquers the Dalad Malachim, he is greeted by Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, who serves him lechem ve'yoyin. Malki Tzedek, we are told, was a kohen lekel elyon. He was the servant, a priest to Hashem. He gives Avraham a bracha, Baruch Avraham lekel elyon, kohen shemayim ve'oretz, Baruch kel elyon shemigen tzorech b'yadecha. He thanks the Rebbeinu Shleilam, who protected Avraham in a miraculous way. And right after that, Vayitin le'ma'aser mikoil. So Rashi learns that Avram gave Malki Tzedek a tenth of all the booty that he conquered because Malki Tzedek was a kohen. So therefore he was giving him his portion of Meiser. So many Mefarshim understand that this is the earliest source to the mitzvah of giving Meiser. Similarly, we find by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he was asking for Hashem's protection, so part of his pledge is, I will give Meiser. Some even learned he was giving Chaimish. It was Aser Asrenu, he was going to give Chaimish. So that gives us a place to go into this mitzvah of Meiser. As the Malvin points out on the Pasuk, Vayitin le'Meiser mikoil, Sheha Meiser hu ha'meirk birchas aloika mimal. Meiser is what pours upon a person the bracha of Hashem. Like the Pasuk tells us, in Navi, Haviu is kol ha'maaser al beis ha'itzer. Bring all the mice to the base of Eitzer v'chulu. The Pasuk says, Ari kaisi lechem bracha ad b'lidoy, and I'll confer upon you, I'll pour upon you. Bracha without measure. So, there's many things to discuss in the mitzvah of Meiser. The first thing that needs to be clarified is the level of obligation when it comes to giving Meiser. So, there's some confusion here because we have a mitzvah of tzedakah, and then there's this mitzvah that goes along with it, the mitzvah of Meiser. So, where do the two differ, and how would they come together? So really, although they both involve the obligation of giving to others, they're really very, very opposite types of mitzvahs. The mitzvah of tzedakah, which clearly is a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, is reactionary in nature. When somebody sees a poor person, his brother who has a need, he's destitute, he can't afford the necessities, so then one should react by doing whatever he can to fulfill that need. So there the Torah has many lavin of lo yisa'ameitz as levavcha, lo yisikpeitz as yodcha, you can't harden your heart, you can't withhold from giving him what he needs. Many, many mitzvahs that go along with it, of nosen titein, pasayach tiftach. It's clearly a mitzvah to react to the situation and do whatever you can to alleviate the suffering of your brother. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah. Meiser, on the other hand, is proactive in nature. It's not referring to a specific need that someone has and you're trying to fill it. It's referring to someone who was given bracha by Hashem, and he says, clearly this is not all for me. If Hashem entrusts me with all this money, I'm going to take from it what I need, but the rest of it, as much as I can, is going to be given back to Hashem for Hashem's causes, so to speak. So right away, he takes off 10% and saying, I'm going to share the bracha I was given with the Hashem's people. So that's how the mitzvah of Meiser is coming the other way. It's saying that when I was given something, I'd like to share that. So that already, that mitzvah is not clear exactly the level of obligation. So even though we just found a source for it back from Avraham Avinu, from Yaakov Avinu, yet it's not clear whether it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, d'rabbanon, or perhaps not even a chiyuv altogether. There's a Tosfos in Tainis. Tosfos quotes a Sefri. We don't have it in the Sefri. It's found in other Midrashim. Tosfos learns from a Pasuk that when you're, in addition to the Meiser that you give of your Tevuah, of your produce, there's also a mitzvah to give Meiser of all your income, of what you gained from Pragmatia, from business and the like. So some understand Tosfos to be literal, that this is an absolute chiyuv d'oraisa, but that is definitely not the consensus. Many others say it's only an asmachta. And that's the opinion of, let's say, the Taz, and the Ramos seems to go with that, that Meiser is a Chiyuv, but most likely a Drabonon Chiyuv. There's a Bach, and this is the accepted by many, many Paiskim, who assumes that it's not really a Chiyuv altogether, rather it's a Minik. It's a custom that Klal Yisrael has always done. So, although it is a custom that's, you know, it's customary, it can't be, it's not obligatory, but as we see, this is something that's, it's basically expected of any Jew who can, to give at least Meiser of his income, and if possible, even Chaimish. So the Paiskim warn that since if we'll go with the Paiskim that it's not a Chiyuv, and someone does this custom, so now it can become a Neder. So they warn that someone should, when beginning to give Meiser, one should always say that he's accepting this Bili Neder. If he did not do that, then it may actually have the ramifications and the stringencies of a Neder, and if for whatever reason he wants to change his practices or things come up and he feels he has to stop giving Meiser, it would be advisable for him to be Matir Neder. So, assuming someone is just starting to give Meiser, so how should he do it? How should one begin to do the mitzvah of Meiser? So, the Chafetz Chaim already points out, as we said, and many others, that you should start by saying, I'm doing this Bili Neder, and it should be clear that when your acceptance that it's Bili Neder, and you're going to rely, if necessary, on the various opinions in the Paiskim that are makel, if necessary, you'll rely on those opinions, because since there is no clear sugya of Meiser, so on every important shiloh there is a range of opinions, practically what should be done, so one should have in mind that he's going to allow himself the latitude to rely on different paiskim so that he can best perform the mitzvah of Meiser without it taking away from his ability to do everything else he needs to do. So, again, this is a mitzvah, it's a minig, something that someone should do. But if one's income does not cover the needs of their own household, then the paiskim say they do not have to give Meiser to others. They are technically exempt from this mitzvah, similar to the mitzvah of tzedakah. Someone who cannot afford it is pater from the broader mitzvah of tzedakah. He has to give a shlishus hashekel, but the broader mitzvah of tzedakah is pater, but meiser as well. If he cannot afford his own household needs, then he does not have to give meiser to others. Rav Moshe writes in Dibros Moshe that really he should still set aside meiser. He should set aside the meiser, and then he can take it for himself when he needs it. He explains that the reason someone who does not have the ability to provide for his own household does not have to give to others. He says it's not pshat that you putter from the mitzvah. The pshat is that he is the first karev. We'll see later that your relatives come first when it comes to the distributing your meiser. So the closest relative you have is your own needs. So that's how Rashi explains that one who needs it for his own parnasa does not have to give meiser. It's not that you're putter. Rather, it's that you give Meiser, but you give it to yourself because you're the first karv. So again, he's not convinced, he lives to Rachi, and whether or not this is halacha la Meiser, but he does advise, he says that this seems to be the logic of the Ramah, and that seems to be the better way to go, is to always set aside Meiser, and then if necessary, you can keep it for yourself. So now Meiser is given on income. What is considered income? So income in a broader sense includes all types of business profits, inheritances, winnings, or a gift, or all these type of things. So the proper way to do it is you set aside Meiser or Chaimish if possible. The proper way to do that is you give a full 10 or 20% of the principal at the outset, and then you give annually or biannually, you set aside the 10 or 20% of the subsequent profits. So, for example, somebody receives an inheritance, so right away 10% comes off the top, goes towards Meiser, and this is true even if the deceased already gave Meiser, that doesn't make this money already Meisered, it's your personal profit, and therefore you again have to give Meiser. So right away 10% comes off the top, and then, after it's invested, if it makes money, so 10% of any subsequent profits are to be given to Meiser. So, if you want to give Meiser ahead of time on future earnings, so the Paiskim are not thrilled by this concept because the source of Meiser is similar to the produce Meiser, which after something grows, you give 10% to the Levi. So with produce, obviously you can't pre-give it. It has to be taken out of the produce itself. So they say, Yehuda has a tshuva about this, and he says, really, Meister should be the same way. It should only be after you realize the profit. That's when you take off 10% to give to the Levium, so to speak, when you give to either to Aniyim or to Torah, as we'll see later. But still, he says that if you did so, if you already set it aside ahead of time, then you are Yaitzu with that. It's as if you lent it to the Tzedakah and you're repaying yourself later. So he says it does work with the Eved. Chafetz Chaim says that if you had that in mind when you first started to give Ma'aser, that's what you're going to do. Then it's L'chatchila, you can do that. So how do we calculate profit? What's considered profit? So the first thing we do is we deduct any business expenses that were needed to make those profits happen. Since you're giving Ma'aser a profit, so profit, by definition, means the capital that's over and above what was invested. So you can deduct from your total profit, you deduct first the expenses. So that would include any business travel expenses or income taxes, business insurance, or even childcare expenses that are incurred specifically to enable working. If you wouldn't have done this otherwise, and because you went to work, in order to make this money, you needed to put your child into childcare or housekeeping or things like that, then that's considered a business expense and it comes off the top before you start calculating the Meiser. Another, Rav Moshe says a chiddush that you can calculate the rate of inflation against common goods and you only give Meiser on the true value. So you don't use the nominal value, you use the true value. So if something rose in value over, if let's say a business property rose in value over a long time, so you don't just look at the investment, you also look at it against the rate of inflation. When it comes to losses, business losses, so if it's within the same venture, you invested money and, you know, there was losses and gains, so clearly the losses are taken off the gains because you didn't make a profit. But if it's two different ventures, that's already a big machlekes in the Paiskim, whether or not you're allowed to deduct losses from one venture against the gains of a different venture. So many Paiskim do allow it, and again, if that was your intention when you started giving Meiser, then you can do so. Rav Moshe holds that's the Iker Halacha. So therefore we say you should have one calendar day set as the end of your Meiser calculation, which should be annual or biannual, but you should have one set date. And you calculate all your profits and losses accordingly, and that's when you figure out how much Meiser you owe. So again, so you keep a ledger throughout the year, putting in any profits, and you deduct any expenses and losses from that calculation. You also keep in that ledger any tzedakah that was given. You deduct that as well. First you put in all your profits. And then you deduct from that, you deduct any losses and any expenses. From that sum, you deduct any Meiser that was already given throughout the year. And then if there's anything left, so then you make sure to give that as quickly as possible. Personal expenses are not deducted from your calculation of profits. So like mortgage payments and property taxes on your own home, regular food or clothing expenses, your sales tax or personal items, those are not considered losses, they're not considered expenses. Those are your regular personal expenditures that does not come off your calculation of profit. And if you get a direct benefit from a business expense, like a mortgage payment that's buying you the property, or a business lunch that saves you from eating at home, so the amount that you benefited does not count as a business expense. Profits from a venture that haven't yet been realized. Like if you have stocks that are invested and they didn't pull them out yet. So then they're exempt from Meiser until you take it out. So a business property that rises in value, you don't have to give Meiser against it until you sell that property. So even dividends from a venture, as long as it's not taken out for use, as long as it's still invested, you do not have to take out Meiser. But Shevet Levi says that if it's going to be in there for a long time, then he says it doesn't make sense, you're going to be going years and years without giving Meiser. And it's going to be very hard to keep a good calculation. So he says, so just set a date at a certain, you know, the annual or something like that. And that's when you just calculate the profits and you give Meiser then at that point. Okay. What do we give Meiser from? So again, typically we give Meiser on any money that's earned or business profits. When you receive an object, objects, typically the minig is not to give Meiser. Chaznish says that's the minig is not to give Meiser on an object that was given to you. If you have someone comes for Shabbos, they buy you a hostess gift, you do not have to take the value and go give Maaser of that. If you received money towards a gift, so then you should give Maaser. If it was cash towards a gift, and the person who gave you the money doesn't really care what you do with the money, he just wants you to buy that certain gift, so you should first take off Maaser from the money that was given to you. Some people say if an employee gets direct benefits, part of his wages, like he gets health insurance, so then now he doesn't have to buy his own health insurance, so they consider that profit. I'm not convinced that's the minhag. I haven't seen people do that. If someone is being supported by others, like you have an adult child that's being supported by their parents, they're not allowed to give Maaser without the parents' permission, because by them giving Maaser, now the parents are going to have to give them more money. So you cannot do that. If you have your own money, you can give Maaser from that, but if your expenses are being paid, then you cannot give Maaser without permission, because you're increasing their burden. Also, somebody gives you money and says, I don't let you give Maaser from it, then you cannot give Maaser from it. You can't go against the wishes of the person who gave it to you. At the same time, you should do Ar Mechuyav and Maaser, really, so if you have other money, you should give Maaser from that. So that's how we define income that is Maaserable, that knows that's obligated in Maaser. So now that you have your Maaser, what should you do with it? So according to many Achronim, Maaser is really intended to be used for tzedakah for aniyim only. That's the simple reading of the Ramah, Taz, and several others. They were coming from Maril, that Maaser is intended for aniyim. But other places can disagree, Ber HaGoyla there and others, they say it could be used for other mitzvahs as well. And if you originally intended to do this, when you started giving Maaser, your plan was that you're going to give it for other mitzvahs too, so then you can do so. One important caveat is that Maaser cannot be used for anything that you had to do anyway. Even if it's a worthy cause, even if it's a mitzvah, but it's something that you're obligated to do, then you cannot use your Maaser money for it. So the classic example is that it's a mitzvah to pay back loans. Mitzvah Prius Chayv. So you cannot take out a loan from somebody and then use your Maaser money to pay it back because I'm doing a mitzvah with it. That clearly doesn't make any sense. So it's the same thing with all mitzvahs or all chiyuvim. Once you're obligated in something, once you have a chayv, so then you cannot use Maaser to pay up your own chayvis. So let's say, for example, to support a son-in-law in learning. So it's a beautiful thing to do and it's a great way to spend your Maaser. But if you're already committed to do it, if at the time of the marriage, or whenever these conditions worked out, you already committed to do it without planning to use Maaser money, and now you're committed, and now you want to turn around and use your Maaser money for it, that you cannot do, Pesachei Teshuvah tells us. Once you're committed, you cannot use your Maaser money for something that you're already committed to do. Originally, when you made the commitment that he had the right to do, to say, I'm going to give this amount out of my Maaser money, that you can do, because it is a good use of Maaser money. So let's say supporting your own children. So really, technically, your chiyuv to support your own children, giving them room and board, is only until the age of 6. After that, it's really a tzedaka obligation. It's not a direct chiyuv. So the Shach writes that you're allowed to use your Maaser money to support your older children. Once they're over the age of 6, he says, even if you have other money. Because since you're not directly obligated to support them, it's just the mitzvah of tzedaka that obligates you. So tzedaka, that's what you use Maaser for. Rav Moshe Feinstein comes around and says that, no, we don't say that anymore in most cases. He says part of your chiv to your wife, part of the marital obligations, require a husband to support his wife's children. This is a rule called archi uparchi, that besides for your husband's chiv to support his wife, he also has to give her extra stuff for the people that are around the house. It's normal for people to be in a house, so then he has to give his wife extra so she can support, she can feed them as well. So since it's normal to have your children at home, so therefore, part of your chiyuv in marriage is to support your wife and her children. He says that would extend for as long as it's normal for these children to be supported at home. So consequently, you cannot use Maaser, because now you have, it's part of the marriage obligation, so now you cannot use Maaser for that. But once it's beyond that, once the children are older, and it wouldn't be typical to support them, so then, yes, it would be correct. If they're poor, you can use Maaser money to support them. When it comes to tuition, it's a similar question. According to many poskim, you cannot use Maaser to pay tuition for a son to be taught Torah, because that's a chiyuv in the father. You're already mechuyev to do that. You're even mechuyev to pay for it. So they say you cannot use Maaser to pay tuition for a son to be taught Torah. On the other hand, for older sons, or for sons who can already learn on their own, or for girls, So technically, you should be able to use Meiser funds. Again, Rav Moshe Feinstein comes along, and he says that this kula would not apply anymore. So since we have to send our children to school anyway by law, so the only option for a free school would be a public school. Public school, your general chiyuv chinuch obligates a parent not to send his child to a public school, and therefore we'd have to send him to a frum school. And he'd have to pay for that, because of his general chiyuv of chinuch. So consequently, can I use Meiser money? So again, because your chiyuv is to send them to the school because of your chiyuv of chinuch, it's not a mitzvah tzedakah, so you cannot use Meiser for something that you already have a chiyuv to do. He adds though, if you can't afford it, so then you can use Meiser money just like everybody else, that once you can't afford your household needs, you're really potter from Meiser, so then certainly you can earmark it for tuition. There are Paiskim, it's Eliezer and others, Eliezer has a bit of a rule, a bit of a list rather of Paiskim who do allow using Meiser funds for tuition. So he says if you find it difficult to pay tuition otherwise, so then you could actually use Meiser money for tuition. Even if we'll be machmer and say you cannot use Meiser money for tuition, a few things to keep in mind, like a yeshiva or seminary for post-high school boys and girls that you can use Meiser for. If you could have sent to a cheaper school, and you choose the more expensive one because it's more suitable for your child, so that your chiyuv chinuch didn't obligate you to do that, it's a mitzvah, of course, and certainly the right thing to do for the sake of your child, but it's not part of your chiyuv, so therefore you can use Meiser money for it. Another thing, if you're paying more than the required amount of tuition, if you work out a break, you work out a scholarship, so then you can pay anything over and above that, you can pay for Meiser. Rav Moshe even says if the school is charging you more than they should be charging you, if they don't assess you properly and they think you have better, you're able to pay more than really you can, so then anything above what you should be paying, you're allowed to pay out of Meiser. If a child needs extra tutoring, so then you can use Meiser money for that. Or even for yourself, you can hire a charusa for yourself who can use Meiser. To buy gifts for a Rebbe or a teacher, if they need the money, if they're aniyim, and it's not obligatory, it's not something the school demands you to pay for, so then you can use Meiser money for that as well. So as an aside, even if you technically are paying tuition, if somebody has Meiser money to distribute, then his children's school should definitely be given precedence to other causes. If your children learn there, your children benefit from that place, so it definitely is a good place for your Meiser money, it should be given there. What about using Meiser money for something that you'll benefit from? There's all sorts of causes out there, and when you're choosing a cause, a lot of them have sort of kickbacks, you can get benefits from them. So the truth is, you're allowed to use Meiser even if you indirectly benefit from it. The Taz discusses buying an aliyah and shul. You can use Meiser money to buy an aliyah and shul, he says, because the aliyah is not really being sold. It's not something that's available on the market for a price. The aliyah is being given to the one who gives the biggest donation to the shul. So you're giving a donation, and indirectly, they give the aliyah to the one who gives the biggest donation. Specifically by aliyahs, though, the Pesachei Tshuva points out that if you are bidding, Rekiv Eger, quotes the Shlo, so if you're bidding against someone, and that person was going to give a certain amount, and you outbid him, so really, you just caused Tzedaka to lose that amount of money. Because if he was going to give, let's say, 300, and you offer 350, so now he's not giving that 300. So all Tzedaka gained from your donation was $50. So he says, the only thing you're only allowed to take out of Meiser, only the $50, over and above the last bid. If everybody's using the Meiser money and you know that, then perhaps you can count the whole thing for Meiser. He doesn't discuss that case. So again, his assumption is that by you bidding, now this guy's not giving it, so now the only thing you really benefited Stucco was the little bit that was over and above the bid before, so only that difference can be taken out of Meiser. So back to the benefits from Meiser, if let's say somebody gives a lot of Meiser and now he gets a tax deduction, that's totally fine. He does not, that's a good use of Meiser, and the tax deduction is his alone. You can eat at an event, at Tzedakah event, you can eat a meal there. And even though your donation's coming from Meiser money and you're eating, that's fine. There, however, there is a direct benefit in the sense that now you don't have to eat supper at home. So that amount, the amount of supper at home that you deduct, that does not count from your Meiser money. But all the rest of it, anything over and above that, even though you're getting really good food, that's fine. You're allowed to use your Meiser money for that. You're allowed to use Meister money to buy raffle tickets if the raffle tickets don't have a real value. Again, it's similar to the Aliyah. The organization is selling an unlimited number of tickets, so the cost of each ticket is more valuable, is not nearly as valuable as the chance of winning, so that's fine. So then you're not really buying the chance to win. You're giving a donation to the organization, and they happen to be giving you a chance to win something, which is just a small incentive, but it's not really the price of what you paid for. The Paiskim say, though, if you're going to win that raffle, then you should, it's proper to return the ticket purchase to the Meiser, meaning the amount you paid for the ticket, and the Meiser of the winnings should be given to that organization that is considered a correct thing to do. But if it's the type of raffle that has a set amount of tickets and it's actually worth something, it's what people will pay for it, similar to a lottery, so then Rav Moshe says you cannot use Meiser money for it, and if you do use Meiser money for it, Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes that the winnings go to tzedakah. If you use Meiser money to buy an object of value, that thing goes up in value, so that belongs to tzedakah. So he says if you buy a valuable ticket with Meiser money and you win, all that money should go to the tzedakah. If somebody wants to use Meiser money to repay a loan that he expended. So when you're first originating a loan, some guy needs a loan, he's a poor person, he needs a loan. Could be even if he's rich, Chavos Chaim discusses, but definitely if he's poor, you can take your Meiser money and lend it to him. So if he borrows the money and returns it to you, so that money belongs to Meiser when it's repaid. But you can even give him the money and stipulate that if he doesn't pay it back, it'll be coming out of Meiser. If you lent your own money, you can still stipulate that if he doesn't pay it back, you'll deduct it from your Meiser account, in other words, you'll pay yourself back from your Meiser account. If you already lent the money, and now the borrower can't afford to repay it, so that's already a big machlokes in the Acharonim, whether or not the lender is allowed to use his own Meiser funds to collect the debt on behalf of the debtor, on behalf of the person who borrowed. So Rav Moshe says if the lender, when he accepted to give Meiser, he said bli neder, so then already you can be makel and rely on the Acharonim that you are allowed to use your own Meiser funds against the debt that the person can't pay back. Essentially, you're giving him a present by not collecting the debt, and it's as if you're giving him that money by paying yourself back. If it was money that you could not have collected, the guy went bankrupt, or he died and he didn't leave over, you know, hard asset, real estate, and things like that, type of assets that he could collect from, so then already that chayv is gone, now you can't use Meiser to repay it, and Rav Shlomo Zalman even says if you gave up on collecting it, for whatever reason, you didn't think the guy was ever going to repay you, so now you just want to turn around and use your Meiser money for it, he says you cannot do that. It's not so simple because it goes into the sugya of Yiyush Anachay, which is a big sugya, but it seems that Rav Shlomo Zalman held that you don't have to get involved in that sugya since we're dealing with Meiser, so Meiser has to benefit from the giving of Meiser, or else you didn't do the mitzvah of Meiser. So here you're just using it as a way of cutting your own losses, so that he says you cannot do. As far as who to give your Meiser to, so really you have the Tevas Hanoh, so you can choose which place to give your Meiser to. The place can say it should go at least half to the Levium, which doesn't mean literal Levium in our days, it means the Amelei Torah, as the Chavos Chaim puts it, the ones who toil in Torah to support those who learn in Torah, specifically if they're poor. So you should try to find that's the best usage of Meiser, is people who need the money in order for them to learn Torah. But the rest of it, half, or up to half, can be used for other mitzvahs, as long as you accept it to do Meiser Bli Neder, or you're planning to use Meiser for these things. So we go with pretty much the regular orders of tzedakah meiser, of mitzvah for pidyon shvuyim, and other pikuach nefesh that comes first, and then food and clothing and direct needs, and relatives come first. Rav Moshe says that with your own funds you can give your relatives even if their need is less than the other people's needs. Since they're relatives, they come first, but you should not give, again, more than half should not go to relatives. It could be even more than half, but there's different numbers given in the Paiskim how much you're allowed to give your relatives. So they say that the bulk of it can go to relatives, half or maybe even a little bit more than half, but the rest of it should not all of it should go to your relatives. Chil Hashem, Rav Moshe says, and others won't give. And the Pesach Tshuva seems to imply that really it's wrong to give more than half. So again, approximately half is allowed to go to relatives, and the rest of it should go to others. But beyond that, it's really someone has their own Tevas Hanoah, they're allowed to choose the causes that they prefer, and they're allowed to use the rest of their Meiser money for that. And may we all continue to do this mitzvah of Meiser, and be zeicha to the brachas, like the Malbim told us, of our Kaiselach and Bracha ad Beli Doi.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.